Someone come on to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Welcome back to Talk Music to Me. The website is talkmusictomeslc.com. I am Alan Martindale, sitting right across from the lovely, the beaming right now, Jess Screener, because we are recording again.
It's been so long.
It's been so long, but we're back. We're super stoked to be back. It's a lot of fun.
I missed it. Me too.
I missed it a lot, so we got to do it more often.
Yes.
We have with us today, I am super excited about this because we have Salt Lake City's own and one of pretty much the nicest guy you could ever possibly meet in your entire life, Mr. Devin Masters from the band Oxford Gray, Salt Lake City's own Oxford Gray. Devin, first of all, thanks for joining us. Second of all, how the hell are you doing, man? It has been a while since I've spoken with you.
It has been way more than a minute. Thank you guys for having me on.
Of course. I
know we've talked about this for some time, and I'm stoked to be here. So,
well, you are our first guest back after our hiatus. We've taken a lot of hiatuses. We've been doing this podcast a couple years.
You guys, we all love you, but sometimes we get lazy, and I have no good explanation other than something gets going, and then it's like, oh, it's been like 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Devin, we're super stoked to have you on the show, man. So thanks for joining us.
I
sent Jess Oxford Gray's EP.
Yes.
And can I don't know if you want me to say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
She was like, you know, I was kind of expecting it to not be very good, and it was really, really good.
It's true. I didn't know what to expect.
You don't know what to expect. Yeah.
No, exactly. And I turned it on. I was riding the exercise bike earlier because I was preparing for whatever snacks I was going to be having tonight, and I was like, oh, wow, this is really good.
Thank you. It's our debut, and it was a long time in the making, so we're glad you're enjoying it.
How long have you guys been a band?
Oh, man, that's a complicated question.
iterations of band?
Yeah. So what happened is I actually started the band right out of high school. So we're talking like back in 2005. I started it as a solo thing and quickly brought on Preston, who's the other guitar player, and we turned it into a full band situation, probably, you know, like 2006. And we had a run for a couple of years, and we stopped playing. Everyone kind of went their separate ways. And I want to say it was about 4 years ago, we just decided, you know what, let's get back together and jam a couple times with those who are interested, and let's record these songs and do them right. And so that's how you get memories for the EP is, it was all those songs from, you know, at that time, like 12 years before. And we just did kind of a new take on some of them, and it was a lot of fun.
Well,
here we are still going.
I wanted to say that, I mean, the recording is amazing. I mean, you guys did an incredible job with it. It sounds great. The levels are great. Everything is quite wonderful with it. So I was really impressed with the recording in general.
Where did you guys record it? Did you do it yourself?
We did it with a buddy of ours. He runs a little studio called Stay Alive Productions. His name's Tristan Anderson. He used to play drums in a band called I'm Alive. He's now their lead singer. So we just went over and started working with him. We played a show with them at Kamikazes in Ogden. And he's like, hey, I'll record you guys. I'll give you a good deal. And we said, okay, we're looking for someone. And it just ended up working out. It was a great experience.
Well, he did a great job.
He really did, because it does sound really good.
Like, very professional.
Yeah, definitely. But some of those songs you've been working on for a long time then. You have in your back pocket for a long time.
Yeah. Like I said, some of those songs probably go back to like 2006, 2007. And a lot of them we ended up reworking to some extent, because once we got in and working with him, he's saying, oh, you know, we probably want to double up a chorus here. We want to take this extra bridge part out, you know, because we have a bad habit of writing pop punk songs that somehow end up being 5.5 minutes long. and so you need someone to tell you when to kind of rein that in. So that's what was really great about it, is he brought his own take on it, and we were able to take old songs and kind of put a modern twist on them. Some of them are very very much what they were back in the day. And a couple of them are like completely reworked, either lyrically or structurally. So, you know, it was quite a process for us.
We're going to play some tracks in a little bit coming up. But for those who have not heard your band, would you describe it as pop punk, or how would you describe it?
I tell people it sounds like 2005.
Very true.
That's just the vibe, you know, because it's kind of a pop punk. It's kind of an emo. And it just really fits into that genre of, you know, the old school Taking Back Sunday stuff.
Totally.
You know, back when The Used was really popular and Fall Out Boy was just taking off. You know, we could sit here and talk pop punk from that era all night long.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's Jess's heart right there.
Oh, well, when I first started playing it, I was transported back to going to Kilby Court for small shows around that time frame and being like, I would have absolutely loved you guys. Like, this was right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fun.
We're trying to kind of pick back up on that, because I don't know if you guys have noticed. It seems like you're kind of getting I don't know if it's a second or a third wave of pop punk, where all that stuff seems to be coming back. You're starting to see bands get back together, and I like to think we started that trend.
You know? You get full credit in my book, man.
I'm going to give him credit.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Totally. So.
Well, that's fun, man. I'm glad. So here's the thing. It seemed like, and I know you because you're a podcaster. You're a fellow podcaster. You're in Salt Lake City. You do a jazz podcast, which is after my own heart, because I'm
and
a jazz
mine too.
Fan. And now Jess is a recruited jazz fan again. And I know you from that, and I know you from Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. And I saw what you guys were doing right before the pandemic. You guys were playing a lot of shows. You guys were opening up for some big bands. You were getting some really good gigs. You were releasing music. And then the pandemic hits. So it felt to me, and I'm a total outsider viewing this kind of third person, but it felt to me like you guys were right there, because the quality of your music was solid. The quality of the recording was solid. You had everything going for you, and it just felt like the pandemic just shut everything down. And did that kind of take some of the wind out of your sails?
Oh, it completely did. It completely did, because we started 2020 going on the Live and Local on K-Bear, you know, and doing our first radio experience. And that was really cool. And we ended up playing, well, in the venue, and then it became Greek Station. And so that was like, okay, we're actually getting into a bigger, you know, venue than playing Kilby Court or Loading Dock or some of those smaller places in Salt Lake. So it was like, okay, this is great. And then we ended up booking a show with Red Jumpsuit Apparatus over at Metro. And that one sold out.
Oh, wow.
And so we played with them, and just, you know, that's what I'm talking about right there. There's your nostalgia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we play that at the end of February. And, you know, you got, I don't know, 600 people at Metro. And it was the biggest show I think any of us had played. And 2 weeks later, we're going into a studio and planning to record. And then the pandemic hits and everything shuts down. I mean, you're talking sold out show, studio
to shut down
in a 2 week period. And so we didn't know what to do. We actually played as a jazz fan. You remember when Rudy Gobert got his diagnosis, right?
Yeah, his defense is so good, he shut down the entire country.
Exactly. Defensive player of the century.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, that happened, I think, on a Wednesday, and we had a show that Friday night. And so it was this really weird moment of, do we play this show? And everyone's kind of making the jokes of, you know, they said no large gatherings, it's a local show, relax, because it was just up in a bar in Ogden. You know, so we're cracking jokes on stage and having a good time with it. But there still was kind of this weird, uneasy feeling about it. And that was the last time I went out to a restaurant for probably about a year. And it's just really bizarre how quickly things change. So, yeah, we had a ton of momentum. The pandemic really shut that down. And then in the process of us being like, well, we're not going to do any shows. We're not really doing much recording wise. We were trying to, but we just weren't really finding our feet with that. Our drummer actually ended up moving across the country, and now he's in Georgia. So we're kind of trying to get back up and running, and we're doing so without a drummer right now. But it's kind of weird to hit that peak and then it just drops.
That sounds very disheartening. It's like, yes, we're getting,
And it would have been one thing if, because at first we're all like, okay, we'll just all go inside for 2 weeks.
I literally thought it was going to be
maybe a month. We'll be good.
Maybe a month.
But then it drags on and on and on. And I just, at that point, like I'm not even in a band and I didn't have momentum. But I even found myself being like, oh, dude, like I just don't know how to find the motivation right now. So if you're like, because you guys were right there, man. You were playing all these shows and
sold out shows.
And I Jess probably doesn't remember this, but I was like, we got to go see Devin's band because they're really good. And I like
I
to
actually
see them
do
live.
Remember that.
Yeah. And so what is it looking like now? Like now that thing, you know, people are getting vaccinated, things are starting to kind of open up a little bit. Do you guys, are you kind of towing your way into shows or recording or anything like that?
We've actually been talking about it. We've had a few inquiries about shows, you know, hey, do you guys want to play this show? And I've been the one who's been more skeptical on it than anyone else, just because I'm trying to be responsible with it. You know, I don't want to have our fans go out and someone ends up getting sick. You know what I mean? That's the last thing you want. So, we're kind of playing shows by ear. I'm hoping we'll have a couple lined up for summertime. At least by the fall. And then this is actually ideal timing to come on and talk to you guys. We are going into the studio next weekend.
Woo-hoo! Oh, no way. Yeah, dude.
So we've got three songs that we're hoping to put out this year. We're going to go in and track two of them. We had already started one. We're going to see if we can get it finished in that regard. And if not, we'll move over and redo it with this producer. But
that's so exciting.
Yeah, we're stoked. We're going to try and get this up and running. We're doing our drummer stuff kind of remotely. So the same guy, Carson, is still working with us to help us get through these tracks since he was the one who wrote the drums for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be trying to find a drummer and getting shows up. And if we can't get a drummer right away, it's, you know, going to be some acoustic shows or something like that.
Well, it seems like now's the best season to try to attempt it because you can hopefully get some outdoor shows or at least, you know, if it's at a bar on the bar patio, like that's kind of what I've been seeing. And to me, that would be, I would feel more comfortable at a show outside than I would inside. I think being inside would actually make me pretty nervous.
Yeah.
Even though like, you know, most people are getting vaccinated now.
We're obviously as are you, Devin, we're big into concerts and that's been the kind of like the hole that's missing in my heart during the pandemic more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like, I don't know how comfortable I'm going to be going to a packed show. So, I mean, I don't know if you have plans like to do some outdoor shows or what. I mean, that might even be too far in the future right now. You might just be thinking about getting the songs recorded.
Yeah, the priority for me right now is getting the songs recorded because we've got one we want to have out this summer. Then the other two will probably be, you know, fall or early winter releases. But yeah, I feel you guys on the shows. I mean, I go back to 2019. I went to more than 20 touring concerts. You know, I'm not counting local shows. I'm just talking the touring bands.
Yeah. I mean, we were going to four or five a week.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Just to have no live music at all. I don't know if you've I know Frank Turner was doing those live streams to support the independent venues in the UK. That kind of helped me connect to other musicians, but it just wasn't the same, man, all the live streams that people were doing. I don't know if you tuned into anything like that, or how did you cope without live music during the pandemic?
I did watch a couple of those. I'm a big fan of, there's a solo singer-songwriter named Matt Hyers. I'm not sure if you guys have ever listened to him.
Mm-mm.
He lives out in Nashville, so I'd jump on and watch his live streams that he was doing from his basement and stuff. And some of the concert videos that people would do, you know, I know there's a bunch of bands that were doing those and putting things on YouTube. With no live music, I just tried to kind of find new things that I enjoyed, you know, and that's kind of what gets you through when it comes to music, right?
It's true.
If you can't go see it, you have to find something new to listen to. And there were a lot of people doing things in 2020. And I honestly, and I've said this since last year, I think 2021 is going to be a crazy year for music.
Yes.
Once things really get up and running, because I mean, people had a year to sit home and write.
That's true. I didn't even think about that, actually.
I thought we'd be seeing more releases by now, actually. I thought by now we'd be starting to see more, and I'm a little disappointed so far. We'll see.
Maybe they're recording right now.
They could be.
Yeah.
They could be. I know, like, you would know better than me, Devin, but it seems like music takes a long time from the writing to the recording to the release. It takes a long time to get that going.
Yeah, it really depends on how people go about it. You know, some people will go in and just do a single on their own, and music's constantly coming out. A lot of bands probably working on LPs and planning on putting that out once they can start touring again or something to kind of move forward with. So that's my hope, is as concerts pick up again, you're going to start seeing more of these releases come out and some really good music hitting the air.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was interesting having that break, because we were actually supposed to go on a music cruise, the Flogging Molly cruise we usually go on. And as it was getting closer, it was like, I don't feel comfortable going on it, even though we really wanted to go. But just the idea of it was terrifying, honestly.
Being trapped on a boat?
Yeah, and getting
COVID.
Sick. Yeah. And even now, like, I've seen people going on cruises and I'm like, I just don't think I'm there yet. And we were driving in the car and Alan's son was asking us what music we've been listening to. And I realized that I've really gotten into podcasts more than music in the past year. And I didn't even notice it. Yeah, I didn't even notice it until he actually asked me. And I realized I hadn't really listened to much music. And then I got really sad. I mean, I have so many podcasts that I listen to now, but I mean, I'm trying to implement music back into my life, but we went from tons and tons and tons and tons of music to nothing. And
have you heard any new music that's really kind of struck a chord with you so far?
During the pandemic, one of the things that I picked up on was Hot Mulligan. They put out a release last year called You'll Be Fine. And it's a modern pop punk band, but there's kind of this nostalgia element to it in some ways. I've really, really dug that record, and they're just getting ready to put out another EP. And the other one that just came out, and this could be a product of last year. Do you guys listen to Manchester Orchestra?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I have never listened to them, but I see them everywhere now. Like, everyone is super into them, and I don't know a thing about them.
I saw them probably 2008 with Brand New when they played at Salt Palace Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really good, but I never got into them. You know, it was one of those things. I was like, oh yeah, I remember a couple of these songs, but they just never became my band. They just put out a record a couple weeks ago, I think, called Million Masks of God. And it's phenomenal. So it's one of my album of the year contenders right now.
Wow. So I'm going to have to check that out, because it's blowing up everywhere I go. I see that name.
Yeah. And what was the album that you were playing the other day? And I like came running into the kitchen and I was like, play it again.
Oh, the New Authority Zero EP.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. Ali kept asking me, he's like, do you mind if I play this again? I'm like, no, that's fine. Because we're kind of the same, that if we like something, we'll just kind of replay it until we murder it. But
thank God you're the same way too.
Because
I can't. I mean, I just listen to things on repeat. That's my problem. This is why I can't find new music. Because I'm just stuck on all my old stuff that I've been listening to for 30 years.
I do. Well, I get stuck on things that are stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And so I have playlists on Spotify and I try to branch out and I always go back.
I'm the same way, man. You know, I find something I like. Like I said, that Hot Mulligan album has just been on repeat for months.
Ooh, I'm going to have to listen to that.
But you'll see things on Facebook, social media. I think I saw like a meme and it was something about, oh no, it was a YouTube video. And someone said, oh, this is my favorite Green Day song. It was one of the ones off of Dookie. And they're like, I'm not ashamed. I'm like, why would you be ashamed? That's like their best record, you know?
Right,
such
right.
A good album.
It was
still
a good album.
It is a good album.
That yeah. I mean, I've talked about this before, but my gateway band was The Offspring.
See, mine was Green Day. Mine was Green Day.
See, and that's the thing. Like, people around our age, it's either Green Day or The Offspring. And so it kind of like, I wonder which, actually, I always ask people, which one is their gateway band?
This is true because Alan is actually my older brother's age and his was Offspring. So he was listening to Offspring in his room and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I discovered Green Day.
And then you know what was like right after us? Blink 182.
Yeah.
That was the other gateway band that got a lot of people into it.
Yeah. And so it's funny
Blink
to think about.
Blink might be mine.
That. It's so cute. It's like all the generations and how it went.
And now we're all old.
It's fun being old, though. So wait, Devin, I have a question for you. Because as soon as you were talking about how you guys got back together after 12 years, and it's from this really fun time in music, because that was when I was going to the most concerts, was around that time frame. Was it really nostalgic? Did you find yourself kind of like wanting to wear all the old type of clothes that you used to wear, all the time and... Talking about the good old times.
I didn't break out the studded belt. I feel like that's what you're getting at. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, we as a band started talking about all the old shows and, you know, the inside jokes and everything that goes along with it. You know, it's fun getting into local music. It's fun being in a band. And that's one of those things. I mean, technically we're from Ogden. You know, we're not a Salt Lake band, so we had played most of our shows up here. But even when we first started back up, one of the better shows we got was down at Kilby, and it was with a band called Sell Your Scores.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to Kilby and being like, I always heard about Kilby Court. I don't think I ever, I never made it down to Kilby for a show, you know, back in that era. And I really wish I had, because that was like the mecca of Salt Lake City locals and just, you know, that mid 2000s kind of pop punk scene.
Oh my God.
That was the place, right?
Oh yeah. I was in college then and I had moved up from Southeastern Utah and I was so excited. I went to concerts as much as possible. It was almost every night. I was living at Kilby and what were the other two? Lo-Fi and in the venue, and what was the
in the venue was
Deviate.
Oh, the basement Deviate. Yeah.
So I was at Kilby the most, and shout out to Leah Bell because she started sharing the posters from those years when she was making all the posters for Kilby Court when she and her husband Phil owned it, and so seeing the posters because I used to collect them after the shows, and I've been having fierce nostalgia this last couple of weeks as she's been sharing them because. Oh, man, Kilby's got my heart. It will always have my heart.
And if you're not from Salt Lake and you don't know what we're talking about, Kilby Court is an all-ages, very small venue. I honestly...
In the ghetto.
Yeah. It's really small. It's like...
It's a shed. It's literally a shed.
It is a shed. It's literally a shed. Yeah. And it's in the middle of this residential little area that's
kind of in the industrial area.
It's industrial, but that's
a little bit scary.
It is. But it's very seminal for people who are growing up in Salt Lake City going to shows. Except, I never went to Kilby Court, not one time until I met you, Jess.
Yes.
My first ever Kilby Court show. I'd always heard about it. I've seen pictures. I've seen videos. And I was like, man, how did I never go there going to shows? And we saw I the Mighty there.
Yep.
And that was the first time I'd ever been there, ever. And I was almost a little embarrassed to tell you that.
Really?
Yeah. The basement of Deviate, that's where I really kind of became a punk. That's where I fell in love with live punk music.
Oh.
It was the basement of Deviate.
See, and I think there were a lot of good venues up in the Ogden area that I had always heard of. And I think there was one that I used to go to quite a bit during that time, but I can't remember what it's called.
So when everything opens up, Devin, you'll have to show us around Ogden because I have never been to a show up there ever.
Man, I hate to tell you this, but most of the venues in Ogden seem to be gone.
Oh, no way.
There's not a lot. It's just kind of the bar scene because... There used to be Mojo's, which you guys probably heard of. That was right on Washington Boulevard. And it was just a very narrow, small place. You know, you go in there, a bunch of couches and stuff. So you could do local singer, songwriter stuff, or you'd have full bands on the small stage. There was a place that was called Club Boomva. And it was not intended to be a music venue place. And my friend Heather started booking shows for... I guess the family that owned, I think it was like a Mexican restaurant or something.
Oh yeah.
I have no idea, but you had touring bands come through there. Like you'd have Sherwood and This Providence, and then they started having more like metal shows when kind of the screamo phase started to happen.
Yep, and screamo phase got really big around that time too. And it's funny that you mentioned Sherwood because they were actually my good buddies for a really long time. So that must have been where I went. Yeah, because
you said the magic word, I saw her light up as soon as you said Sherwood.
I know. Well, because I got to be really good friends with them during that time. So whenever they'd come into town, we'd go see them, and they were just lovely humans. But I would go up to Ogden to go see them, so it must have been there.
Probably was, you know, yeah. But places have come and gone since. But as far as like an all ages venue, I don't know that Ogden really has one right now. And that seems to be kind of a hole, you know, in the music scene up here, because, you know, I don't know about you guys. I got into local music in high school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even junior high age, you'd go see bands do the Battle of the Bands at Classic Skating or whatever.
Totally.
You
know? Classic Skating was where I had my first punk show.
I saw the Aquabats at Classic Skating.
Yeah, mine was MXPX and Weezer, and I think...
Weezer played at Classic... And again, if you're not from Salt Lake, Classic Skating is it's a skating rink.
It's a skating rink.
My kids go there to skate and jump on inflatable slides and play laser tag and all that stuff.
I just remember I went and someone had given me Liberty spikes with Elmer's glue, and I had driver's ed the next morning.
Oh my God. Jet, you were walking around with Liberty spikes?
I was. And I was cool once, but it was really funny because we went and it was my first punk rock show, and I didn't know what crowd surfing or anything was. And somebody literally, because I was teeny then, somebody literally picked me up and chucked me. And all of a sudden I was being thrown, and then all of a sudden I was flying towards the stage and I couldn't stop. And then a security guard caught me and I hugged him and I said, "You saved my life, sir.
Welcome to the scene."
That was a trial by fire, man.
let's listen to one of your songs, Devin. So this is, let's listen to Napalm and Loaded Shells. This was your first single, right? Before the EP came out.
Yeah, it was.
Is there anything you want to say about this song? Is there anything special about it or lyrically important to you?
That's one that our other guitarist, Preston, wrote the lyrics for. You know, and it's kind of it's weird because it's such a dark subject matter. But the song itself is very upbeat and, you know, kind of almost poppy. So we love opening shows with that one because it just seems to be a great kind of get the crowd going, you know, and that was one we didn't have to do a lot with. You know, it came, and what you hear is pretty much what the song was back in the day. So we love that.
Well, you came absolutely, I mean, it came ready to go, you know, mm-hmm. That's got to make life easier on you for sure. So this is Oxford Grey with Napalm and Loaded Shells. This is off their EP Memories.
Memories now and then. My sentence of thought, the battle's always fought. What's not for now, forget.
I just had to get a little silence in there so I knew where to cut.
No, I know how this goes.
Yeah. Well, you've been producing. How long have you guys been doing Jedi and Germs now?
Oh man, we've been. It's had to be like 6 years, probably.
Yeah, it's a long time. You guys are the old guys now. You guys are like the veterans.
Well, Alan's the old guy, and John's the old guy. I'm still youthful.
That's right.
You'll always be youthful because you're a musician.
That's true.
Exactly.
You can't ever be old unless you're Keith Richards. All right, Keith Richards is old.
And the walking skeleton.
Other than him, yeah, exactly. We're back, by the way. I'm not cutting any of this out. We're leaving this in there. So Devin, I know, you know, we were talking about live shows and kind of how it's left a hole in our hearts during this crazy pandemic time. What is some of your favorite concert memories? This could be going back to, you know, the Battle of the Bands in junior high school, or it could be up till right before everything shut down. What do you have, anything that sticks out?
I mean, the sellout show was huge, you know, because I'd never done something like that. So having that moment and playing with Red Jumpsuit Apparatus was really cool. It makes you feel a little bit old, but it's still really cool. Classic skating, you know, all those local shows are great. But when I think concert experiences, I think Warped Tour and the Big Ass Show, you know,
totally.
The X96 Bash, you know, for non-local people, the local alternative radio station would put together a day-long festival with some of their biggest bands, and those were great shows. I'm sure you guys went.
Yeah, because wasn't Warped Tour was generally in July, and then Big Ass Show was usually in August, right?
I don't know. It seems like it got canceled for weather a couple times, the Big Ass Show. I don't know.
All I know is that those were the best summers ever, and I had my little jobs that I would work all year, and I'd save all my money because I was saving it for Warped Tour and Big Ass Show, because that's where I'd spend literally all my money. And I get fried, sunburned, totally dehydrated, and it was awesome.
Well, again, I never went to a Big Ass Show, but that was always outdoors too, right?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah. They were usually at the Utah State Fairgrounds.
It kind of didn't.
And so,
Devin, didn't you kind of feel like it was like a second round of Warped Tour? Because that's kind of what it felt like to me.
Oh, yeah. It felt like part two. And sometimes you'd even have like the same bands. Like, I want to say The Used, probably, you know, being from Utah, there were some summers where they would play both. And so if you like were going to miss their set because how many bands were playing at Warped Tour, you're like, oh, I'll get them next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, it was so much fun. You'd have two stages, I think, at the Big Ass Show, and Warped Tour was just
there were so many stages.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be running from one side of the fairgrounds to the other so that you could catch both bands that you wanted to see.
I remember doing that because I remember being at one stage, like, it was like, okay, let's go watch three Les and Jake songs, and then we'll run over and we'll watch Rancid, and then we'll watch three of those songs, and then we'll run over and we'll catch Alkaline Trio, and then we'll run from there, and then we'll go see NoFX, and like, because they were all the best bands were always playing at the same time, usually towards the end of the day.
Oh, always. Yeah.
And Bad Religion usually ended it. Yeah,
it was cool, because I that's what I liked about Warped Tour. They tried to eliminate that hierarchy. From what I understand, they tried to eliminate that hierarchy of bigger bands and smaller bands. I don't know if they held on to that ethos as it got, because I remember my last couple Warped Tours, I was like, I don't think I'm going to come again because I'm not really into the bands. I'm way older than everybody now. It's just, but there'd be one good band that would just draw me in every single year. So I would always dish out the money and go sweat in the heat forever.
It was so much sweating. I just remember sitting in I remember laying on the grass and just, you're so hot that like your clothes are all soaked, but you don't want to pour your water over you because it costs too much. And so you'd like run into the bathroom, splash water in your face, which would get rid of your sunscreen. And then at some point you'd just get fried.
Oh, you didn't wait in that giant water line?
No.
For the water coolers where the line was just forever?
No, there was no time.
Just to get a little, one of those little, those little cones of water.
Yeah, oh, the cones. I forgot about the cones.
Yeah, yeah, it was bad news. Yeah, no, Devin, I agree with you. I think Warped Tour, that's, again, a kind of a seminal event for people of our age.
Oh,
you kind
absolutely.
Of came up listening to live music. Is that when you kind of fell in love with live music, or were you always into that stuff?
I mean, live music, that's really when I kind of fell in love. I mean, my first concert experience was the Backstreet Boys. So, you know.
Yes!
That's the generation I am. That Millennium Tour, I wanted it that way. And that's where I kind of jumped in.
That was so well played.
Hold on.
That was so well played.
But I went from that, and then the next show I went to was actually the Pop Disaster Tour. I was in ninth grade, and I got to see Jimmy Eat World, Blink 182, and Green Day all on the same night.
That was a good show. I was at that show. That was a really, really fun concert.
Never seen Green
Day. That was, they were all at their peak.
Yes.
You know, you have to think, Blink, I think, had just put out Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Uh-huh.
Green Day was touring for Warning, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Eat World had just put out Bleed American.
It was a great, that was when I realized how tiny Billy Joe Armstrong was.
Was he a little guy? He's like me? He's a little guy?
Smaller than you,
I think. Smaller than me?
He's like Tom
Cruise style or Danzig style.
I don't know. How tall do you think he is, Devin? He's not very tall.
Well, I'm looking it up now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we're going to have to check with the producer on this one.
All I remember was that the show, like every band was good. And Billy Joe came out and I was like, oh my God, he's teeny. How does that much noise come out of such a little man?
Right?
Yes.
He's 5'7".
He's 5'7"?
So he's taller than me.
He looked tiny.
I mean, that's his listed height. I mean, Danzig probably says he's 5'7", too. Trey Cool is 5'6".
He looked tiny to me. He looked like he was like 5'3" to me.
Billy Joel, like the piano. He's a piano man, right? Billy Joel?
No.
He's 5'5".
Oh. Well, I'm talking about Billy from Green Day.
No, I know. It just pulled him up too.
That's really funny.
I got to ask, how tall is Mike Dirnt?
5'10".
He seems like he's only 5'10".
I would have thought he was like 6 foot.
Super tall.
Man, my eyeballs must not work.
Well, when he's standing next to Billy Joe Armstrong, it kind of makes sense why he looks so much taller.
But Billy Joe just looked tiny to me. I don't know.
Well, 5'7"'s not tall. I mean, that's listed height, too. So
okay, wait.
This is like the NBA. They always fudge their height.
If you've got your phone out, look at the lead singer of Weezer and see how little he is.
What's his name? I don't know anything about Weezer.
Rivers Cuomo.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Because I remember we used to, I went and saw Weezer before they got really big at a little club.
He's a little guy, too. He's 5'6".
Okay. And
These are my people.
I am too tall to be a musician.
How tall are you? Do you mind if I ask?
I am a 6'1" without shoes.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
I'm not giving you like a fake NBA height. You know what I mean?
Not a fake Henry height?
You're trying to downplay it too. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm a staggering 5'5".
I'm taller than Alan.
Yeah, you are a little taller than me.
Like a tiny bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So Green Day. So what was that? What was that tour? Was that a special tour? Or was it one of those bands headlining?
Was it Green Day who was headlining?
Green Day closed it. No, I think Blink closed it out, didn't they? Yeah, Blink closed it out.
Oh yeah, Blink did close it out. I think I was surprised by that. And it was at the Delta.
Kind of felt like a co-headliner. It was at the East Center. Now the Maverick Center out in, I think, West Valley. Is that right?
Yeah. So it was a big one, and it was full. I remember it was like, it was hard to get those tickets.
Yeah, I the only time I've ever seen Blink was at the Snowcore tour.
And I missed that.
It was with the Aquabats and Blink and the Long Beach Dub All Stars, and I can't remember. There was another bigger band that headlined it, and I can't remember. But
I just
got to see the Aquabats for the first time. It was amazing.
Was Travis in Blink, or was he in the Aquabats at that time?
Blink? Yeah, he probably was in the Aquabats at that time.
Oh, seriously?
I think that was right after their second record came out.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
I'm thinking that's probably like when they kind of got acquainted and Blink went, you know, drummer stealing.
That could be.
And plus he wanted to leave because he didn't want to wear the outfits anymore.
Yeah. He's too cool for that, man. He's too cool.
You have to wear the mask.
But now he's dating. Who's he dating now? That
a Kardashian.
A Kardashian.
Yeah. He likes big butts and he cannot lie.
So punk, man. So punk. Stay true to your roots.
How the times have changed.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you grow up and you realize it's really not everything it's cracked up to be. So might as well live the good life while you can, I guess.
Well, so Devin, I have to give you props because I think all three of us probably all wanted to be in bands. I was in a punk band for a very short amount of time.
Named?
Oh, it's called Botulism. But I was the only girl guitarist in our town at the time because I grew up in Price. I don't like to claim it, but we did do some fun Battle of the Bands. But I was not that good. I was not good at coming up with new stuff. I loved playing, but not coming up. I was not good at that. But I ended up going the route of promoting. Because I don't know.
It's natural for you.
It is. I'm a good word of mouth person.
Devin, have you always been kind of a natural songwriter? Is that does it come easy to you?
I don't know how to answer that.
This is a question from someone who does not have an ounce of musical ability in my body.
Yeah,
so
me either.
That's why I can ask that question. It sounds stupid.
Some people, it just comes really naturally. And for me, I'm almost entirely self-taught when it comes to guitar. You know, I've never done vocal lessons or anything like that. So I can sit down and do lyrics and stuff, and I can write simple songs. And sometimes they come together the way I want. But other times, no, it's not easy at all. I mean, there was a span when I wasn't doing Oxford Grey. I probably went, I don't know, 4 or 5 years without writing a song.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it gets easier as you collaborate with people. At least that's my experience. So if you put me in a room with the guys and one of us just starts doing something, it becomes, okay, I like that. Let's build on it. You know, and everyone kind of brings in their part. And sometimes it'll just click like that. And other times it takes a little bit of work. But it's definitely easier for me, at least, doing it in a kind of group environment.
Yeah, you bounce ideas off each other.
Well, I look up to you for that because I love playing, but I could never like sit down and actually create.
Well, the thing that blows me away is you've never had any vocal training. You've never, you know, you're self-taught on the guitar.
You're awesome.
You're very talented. Like you would never, listening to that EP, there's no way anyone would listen to that and say, this dude just taught himself.
No, I was expecting you to be like, yeah, I went to like vocal lessons.
Yeah.
So hold on.
No, it's amazing what they can do, you know, in post-production anymore. So.
You are way too modest because seriously, it sounds great. The whole thing sounds great. Have you been playing your whole life or is this something you picked up later?
I picked it up in junior high. You know, it was the whole Blink phenomenon, really. Mm-hmm. I had some friends who were in a band that was very much a Blink-182-esque band. And I was like, oh, I could get into that. And started playing guitar. And a year later, they were looking for a bass player. So I started playing bass. They ended up finding someone else before I kind of got up to speed. And then just kind of jamming with people all through high school and then got to college and Oxford Grey started to come together. And really that's the only band I've worked with since high school. I've done a little bit of solo stuff here and there, but never anything that was really tracked properly or, you know, that I've released, so to speak. It's just been demo stuff I've thrown online and let people check out. So.
And who was the person who decided to kind of start pulling things back together after the 12 years?
I honestly can't remember for the life of me. It was either our old drummer, Kyle, or it was Preston. One of them had reached out and I was like, yeah, let's get the other guys involved if they want to be. And our bass player had too much going on. You know, he went from being a bass player to being a professor at the local university and, you know, family man.
Wow.
So, yeah, the three of us kind of started talking about it and we Kyle introduced us to Brian, who is our bass player now. And we just kind of had a run for a couple of years, and then Kyle eventually left to do other things, and we replaced him with Carson, and now Carson's left. So, you know, we're figuring it out, but it's been good.
It's the band, you know, dynamic thing.
Well, and I'm curious what that first practice back was like. Was it nerve-wracking?
It was just very nostalgic, because it's one of those things that it's almost like riding a bike. You know, you've played these songs, even if you haven't played them in 10 years, you still know them, and they're just kind of rattling around in there. And once you start playing, it really comes back to you quick.
Uh-huh.
Poor Brian had no idea what was going on. You know, we didn't have any good recordings of anything. We show up at his house and set up, and like, hey, yeah, we're going to play this.
And he's like, great. He's like, okay.
Just try and keep up. It's like that Back to the Future. Just try and keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. We're like, hey, this song is called 375. And he's like, is that because of the frets? We're like, that is definitely because of the frets.
It's the only way I can remember it, all right?
Like, I can count. I can do this, guys.
Exactly. Let's listen to another song. Let's do Still Love to Still Hate You. I love the name of this song, by the way, because I think everyone in the world can relate to that in one way or another. I imagine the title almost speaks for itself, right?
Yeah, yeah, it does. This is actually a song that I think we were talking about not recording. And that's, I don't know why, because this was one of our favorite songs back then. And maybe I just had thought it had run its course or something, but we almost didn't track it. And then we went in and did it. And this may be my favorite one off of that EP.
Well, I'm glad it's probably mine too. So I'm really glad you did track it. I'm really glad you didn't scrap it, because it's great. I mean, did you scrap a lot of songs going into this?
We had a couple that we didn't do, and we just kind of left them as, we'll maybe come back to them. But this is one, I'm trying to think of what we changed on this song. We changed how the ending went, because what it did, and people listening will catch this, is it went from like a bridge straight into an outro. And when we started doing the recording, said, no, let's bring that chorus back one more time and run through the chorus after the bridge. And I was super resistant to it. So I'm like, no, that's not how I play this. You know, it just was counterintuitive. But I love the song. I remember writing this song. God, I was, I think, at my then girlfriend's house, writing it like at her mom's kitchen table or something.
I won't ask.
It's
if
like
it's
weird how you have these. That's not where the song comes from.
Well, I was gonna say I'm not gonna ask if it was written about the mom or the girlfriend.
It was about neither. It was about okay. Neither. So
smart man.
But you know, it's that old. It's a very teen angsty song for me. That's what I think of, and maybe that's why I felt like I was past it when you're like pushing 30 and. Yeah, it's time to grow up a little bit. And then we record. I'm like, nah, I like this song a lot.
Oh, my God. I have this really funny image in my head of you sitting at your then girlfriend's mom's table and her being like, Devin, would you like a sandwich? What are you working on? And then you tell her the title and she's like, that's nice, dear.
That's exactly how I went.
Just got a window to the past. All right, well, let's listen to it. This is Still Love to Still Hate You by Oxford Grey. Well, that's great. Devin, again, like I said, I think that might be my favorite song off the EP. They're all great, though.
They're all good.
That's the thing. Like, that's why when I say that you guys, it felt to me like you were right there on the precipice. It really did, because you guys are so talented. The recordings, like, I mean, I've already said it. I won't want to bore everybody by saying it again, but I just feel like you guys were right there. And it just sucks that COVID came and destroyed everybody. So, I mean, what can we do to help you?
Yes.
You know, how can we help you guys get the word out? Or, I mean, I don't know what skills we have that could help, but I love seeing local people doing great, amazing things. And that's what you're doing with this band and your podcast, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But we're focusing on the band right now. So is there anything we could do to help you?
You know, just something like this is great. You know, you guys inviting me on and being able to actually talk about the band and just talk music in general is awesome. But like I said, we're going into the studio in a week. The hope is to have a new single out in July. If everything goes smoothly, we will. It's a song called Watermelon Lemonade. It's kind of a summer love song, if you will.
Cute.
Can we play it? So, once it's out, can we play it on the show?
Oh, yeah. I can make sure you have that first.
Yes.
Yes.
I will give you a scoop.
I think that we should just have him and some of his bandmates on once the stuff
yeah,
is
Yeah, we'll get you guys actually over here in the studio because it's a little bit more interactive and fun. I know you guys are in Ogden, but if you want to make the drive down to Holiday, we can definitely do that because I would love to do it. There's one thing personally I just got to say real quick because this is a music show. We haven't recorded forever. That new Amigo the Devil record is freaking amazing.
He was down here blasting it before.
I can't not mention it while we're on this show. It is a heavy record. Like it's exactly what you would expect from Amigo the Devil. So everybody go out there, just stream it, buy it. Who cares? Do whatever. I got the whole like $150 pre-order thing.
He did. And he was wearing the t-shirt today?
I'm wearing it right now. I didn't change.
Well, and I was going to say, for anybody who are big fans of music who really missed it, I think one of the best things you can possibly do is buy things from the musicians. They're still out there. They're probably saving their money preparing to go into the studio. Just like Devin and his bandmates are. So help support them. Listen to their music on the different platforms. I mean, anything helps during this time. And as we're starting to go back, hopefully we'll get to see a lot more of them.
Yeah. And Devin, I got to ask you, have you heard the new Frank Turner track?
I didn't even know he had a new track.
Oh, I didn't either.
He just released it like a day or two ago.
Oh my gosh, Devin, Alan's ahead of us
again.
It
is. Outstanding. It's more aggressive than he's ever done before.
Ooh.
Or not ever done, but in a long time. Like, the last Be More Kind record was a little bit more poppy, a little bit more fun. This is a little bit more...
more in your...
More in my territory. Yeah, exactly. It's fun.
Plain sailing weather type of vibe.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, we're getting closer to almost... what is that? The hardcore song on England Take My Bones. I can't remember the name of it, but it's more along that vibe. It's called The Gathering. Just check it out. It's fantastic.
Wait, I have a random question for both of you. Do you think that the music that's going to start coming out will either be super calm or super angry, depending on how people went through quarantine?
I'm going to let you take that, Devin.
You know, I think it probably is.
Yeah.
You know, because there's the way we've all experienced this is going to be different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could probably have a lot of frustration built up. I think you'll probably have more themes of like loneliness and isolation and stuff like that. At least that's, you know, what my experience has been like, you know, but I don't know. Alan, what do you think?
I hope it's more aggressive. I got a problem, man. I have a problem and I am the first to admit it. Let me therapize a little bit.
Sit down
here.
On the couch, you know.
Exactly.
Recline.
I just love, not aggressive. I don't know what the right word is. I just love energy and music. And it really doesn't matter how it's like that. A new Amigo the Devil record is, the easy word to use is haunting.
It's the perfect soundtrack for a very creepy horror movie.
Yeah, but it's deeper than that. But there's an energy there that I can't really put my finger on that really attracts me to it.
Yeah.
And so I just love energy in music and stuff that feels good. And that's why I really love, your EP, Devin, because it feels so genuine.
Yes.
Like it doesn't feel like you're trying to emulate any band or any feeling. It just feels like this is what we love to play. We're going to play it. And this is this. And it speaks to me. And it's hard to do that. As a non-musician, it's really difficult for me to kind of articulate what I'm trying to say. But you've reached something there that really connected with me.
No, and I think probably where that comes from is just the array of influences. Because, I mean, I'm very much as you know, my response suggests, I'm more of a mellow emo kind of guy. You know, stuff like Jimmy Eat World, the old early November albums, you know, Taking Back Sunday stuff, like the Where You Wanna Be album was huge for me. And then you look at the other guys in the band, and Preston's very much kind of like an easy core, Newfound Glory, but also heavier stuff, A Day to Remember, stuff like that, you know. So we're very different when we start writing. And then when Brian joined the mix, he's very much into what you're into. He likes The Offspring, and he kind of likes that straight kind of punk rock style stuff. So you get us in there all together. It's a lot of push and pull.
I can imagine.
It lands you on something unique, you know, and songs can be very different from one another. So we're glad that it comes across as us not trying to be one thing. And that's kind of what we're hoping to do with our new stuff is show some range, you know, something a little softer and probably something harder than what's on Memories.
Interesting, because I will say I can feel all of those influences on that EP. Like I even feel a little bit like there's a little bit of metal in there. It feels like at
absolutely.
Times.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know, really speaks to me. It's not something that I would actually seek out, but now that I've heard it, I'm like, this is like, there's just something there. That's what I'm trying to say. There's something there that's even reaching an old crusty, angry, aged well out of his prime punk guy. That and that's not an easy thing to do.
you can't say that. You're only a few years, you know, older than me. It sounds like. So
okay, he acts I'm like right he's there. 90 years old. No, it's so funny.
It's not. When I say old, I don't mean in age. I mean the way I'm set in my ways. I'm very regimented in the music I listen to and the way I approach life.
Here's the thing, though. When I met you, you only listened to certain things and you would stay within those genres. You were pretty, you know, you were pretty strict on those genres. And if we introduced something to you that was outside of those, you'd say, not really my style. But
Jess, real quick, the term you're looking for is close-minded.
No, but since then, I mean, then he's like listening to Amigo the Devil, who comes out wearing cowboy boots and different things, and I've heard you listen to way more music than I've ever heard you listen to.
I was even enjoying, like, I have a client that I'm doing an edit for, track we used was a Justin Timberlake track, and I was digging that song.
See?
Like, it was fun.
He's growing. He's changing.
Yeah. You're not the old get off my musical porch man that you were.
I know.
You were actually getting younger musically.
Oh man, Devin, you're my best friend.
Devin,
you're my best friend.
I like Devin. We should just have like music therapy hour with Devin.
Well, Devin, I mean, you do this thing on Twitter. I hope it's okay if I talk about it. If not, I'll cut it out. But you do this thing on Twitter that I think I really admire is you do the Vulnerable Sunday thing.
Aww,
where
I love that.
You get people to kind of open up, and which is I think is really good because on Twitter and social media in general, people are very guarded and they want to present themselves a certain way and they're very angry at times and aggressive. And I think what you've done is pretty cool, man. I mean, is that all right if we talk about that for a second?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
So tell, I mean, just kind of mention what it is and we'll give out your Twitter handle so people can follow that, but kind of tell me a little bit about what that is.
So I stole this idea and I fully gave credit when I started doing this, but it wasn't going to be one of those things where like every week I was like, hey, this is where the idea came from. So this was not an original idea. I was actually on Instagram and I started following an account called We're Not Really Strangers. And basically it's a card game and it allows people to ask questions and kind of dig deeper and find connection with anyone, whether you're playing with your best friend, your spouse, or whatever. And I really was digging what she was doing, the creator. And so what she would do is she would take one of the cards from the game, and she still does this, shares it every Sunday with a vulnerable Sunday question, and then the responses would come in. And I started just kind of thinking about it. And you know how social media is. Facebook is everything that you want your family to see. Instagram is everything that you want your friends to see. And it just feels so filtered, fake, and unrealistic. You know what I mean? Like, yes, everyone's life is perfect and everyone's always on vacation.
Yep.
And their kids never have a stinky diaper. I mean,
right.
It's just ridiculous.
Right.
And then you go over to the Twitter, and we're just a hot mess over there as it is, right? Like, that's what Twitter is. And so I started doing, kind of posting those questions over there, or I'd post my own question that I think of. And I really just wanted to have there be a moment each week where someone could have a real conversation where it wasn't a meme or a joke or making fun of the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, I guess there's reason to do that.
It's so much fun.
I hope we don't have any Philly people listening.
It's so much fun to make fun of Ben Simmons, though. It's just so much fun.
Oh, my God.
It is. And the Menzingers are one of my favorite bands. So, you know, I have love for Pennsylvania, but it's just the sports thing.
Right, right.
So I started posting this question, and initially there weren't a lot of responses. You know, there'd be a few people who would kind of chime in. And really over the course of the pandemic is when I noticed this start to go up. So
interesting.
About 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, mountain time, I'll throw out a question and just tag it with hashtag vulnerable Sunday. And people start talking about whatever's on their mind. And it can be dating, it can be their marriage, it can be going through a divorce, issues with their kids. And sometimes it's, you know, positive things. It's their favorite memories or things that they're working towards as goals or things that made them happy during the week, just to get a thread going of real, genuine interaction. And honestly, I think people were just kind of starved for that over the last few months.
I agree. And it's really cool because you get a lot of responses to that, a lot. Like, it's been a very big I don't know. I know people are starved for that, but I had no idea that this many people were willing to share that on a social media platform. So I think it's outstanding that you're doing that.
Well, and Devin, I have to give you like utmost credit before this was even brought up when you said, you want to talk about that? And I was like, oh my God.
He's really good at this. He knows what he's doing.
I was like, that was amazing. I feel like that's such a great, do you want to talk about that?
You want to talk about that?
You want to talk about that?
Let me throw out your Twitter handle though. So anyone who wants to get in on this, I recommend it. I think it's really good.
I think that's so good. We all need an outlet that's where we can be imperfect.
Even me, like I don't participate in, I haven't yet at least, in sharing, but even reading the responses makes me feel better. And that's why, like, and here's the thing, people, I know social media sucks. Like, it's bad, you know,
yeah.
Like it's bad. It serves a purpose for sure. But I think overall it's bad. I basically gave up Facebook and Instagram, and now I'm pretty much just on Twitter other than to kind of self promote and be a douche like that. But Twitter, I've actually had better interactions, and I just use it basically for talking about the Jazz and talking about some music takes and some movie takes, but it's mainly about Jazz. And I feel bad for anyone who follows me who's not interested in that. But I've actually enjoyed it much more. I don't know what it is about it. And I know it gets a bad rap. So, but also seeing you do this, this is definitely helping people. And your Twitter handle is at Devin Masters, and it's DVNMSTRS. And I'll post a link to it on our website in the show notes for this episode. At talkmusictomeslc.com, and we'll do that. And then, Devin, I got to ask you, man, this is a little selfish, so anyone who doesn't want to hear this, that's fine. But before we let you go, how far do you think the Jazz are going this year? Like, honestly.
Ooh. Honestly? I don't know. I see them at least making the second round. But I feel like the conference finals are an extremely real possibility. And I would be not be shocked at all for them to win it all. I mean, the team is deeper than most teams in the league. They have multiple guys who can shoot, multiple guys who create. They have the defensive player of the year. They have a better backup center than they had. The thing it's going to come down to is health. And I think that's how it is for most teams. Because you look at the Lakers. Lakers would still be a favorite, but they haven't been healthy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're going to get healthy in time.
Yeah, so, that's the thing that scares me more than anything is if we draw the Lakers in the first round, because it's looking like it's a possibility.
But if you think about it, I mean, Donovan's been out, but I call Bogey Borg.
I love it. It's great.
Alan shared this on Twitter, but there was just one day I looked at him and I said, I just want to call him Borg.
Well, that's his name now in our house. It's Borg.
It's just Borg. Yeah. But he's really stepped up and been carrying things. So now we might have Donovan and Borg.
But if we got to play LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
You mean where LeBron just takes the ball and runs with it?
And runs and doesn't dribble at all? Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you see him end up? Am I wrong here?
Man, no. That's the problem. It's so wide open this year.
Are you afraid to say it?
I am a little afraid
to
say it.
He's very superstitious.
I'm crazy superstitious.
Superstitious.
I'm kind of with you, though. Like, I would not be surprised to see them go all the way and take it. I mean, that would be a little surprising, but I also would not be surprised to see them get bounced in the second round because the Western Conference is just so damn good.
And so. I know you well enough to know that you don't want to say and you don't want to say it out loud because you feel like you'll jinx it.
No, I say it because on the other podcast, I say it a lot, but I don't know. I'm with you, Devin. I don't know right now. I'm so scared. I'm so stressed out by it. It's ridiculous.
I'm so scared.
I haven't dared hope this much in a long time. So,
well, if I'll make sure we write you a song either way.
Oh, my Yay! Man, my man.
There will either be a victory song, you know, when we are crowned of the champs, or there will be some angsty punk song that we can put together. We got to do something, right?
We got to do something. I mean, you guys are really good at the angsty stuff. So if they win it, do you think you could pull off the celebratory thing?
You want like an arrogant, angsty celebratory?
Oh, yeah. You could go that route.
What if you did like some sort of chant, like the RSL thing that...
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
I can't remember.
Brendan Steinecker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I've honestly wanted to do that because that Believe chant is so wonderful.
It's so much fun. It's
so good. And every time Rancid comes here, they play it to open the show. It's amazing.
Honestly, that's why I like going to RSL games. I'm not going to lie, because soccer players are so dramatic, but I like going so that I can sing the song and yell.
Devin, you got to do it, dude. We will bump it. We will play it. We will play the hell out of it.
Everywhere.
Okay, I'll talk to the guys. Like I said, studio time coming up. Maybe we can sneak something in.
I love it, man. I love it.
And hey, Devin, I wanted to thank you because you guys did transport me back to my pyramid belt and mine was the starting line t-shirts. And I love the starting line and like back to like those days of the best shows. That was like my favorite time ever. So thank you. You guys made me extremely nostalgic and it made my heart happy.
That's what we're going for.
Yay! So
you guys are doing a great job.
Happy. Or if we can make you sad, you know, if I can make you feel sad. Like when you're
and say, do you want to talk about that?
He's so good, man.
Make you very upset for like 4 minutes. And then you're like, oh, that was weird.
We should do like...
What do you always say about the punks who get old? What do you say, Jess?
Oh, there was one line that
I'm not so pissed off anymore.
I mean, yeah, because you and it was our friend when you guys were like, yeah, I've just noticed that their songs get all sensitive. And it's like, man, I'm just not pissed off anymore. But I don't know. After the pandemic, people may be pissed off again.
We're back. So, Devin, tell everybody where they can find Oxford Gray.
Best place to find us is on Facebook. You know, I'm kind of the same way as you. I keep Facebook around so that I can pimp my stuff, and that's really about it. And I guess get in arguments with people over politics, because what else do you do on Facebook, right?
That's really the only thing people what it's there use for it now. For.
I know. That's why. That's exactly where I got off.
Or fight with me. It's one of those.
I love it.
Well, so,
sorry, go ahead.
That's the best way, but we're also on we have a Twitter and an Instagram. Off the top of my head, I do not know the handles. It's probably under like Oxford Gray Music or just under Oxford Gray.
I'm looking.
Well, so the best way to find it is head over to talkmusictomeslc.com. In the show notes, we will put links to the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. We'll put links to your streaming. And on Instagram, it looks like it's oxford.gray, G-R-E-Y.
That's right. Yes. E-Y.
So head over there. Support them, man. You guys are doing great stuff. Devin, thank you for coming on. We've been trying to get you on for a while. We just haven't recorded in a long time. So thanks for joining us for our epic return to the internet.
Anytime, man. This was a blast. Jess, thank you for having me on.
Nicest guy ever.
I hope Alan will be okay. Sounds like he has a few things he may want to talk about, so just give him a safe space to do that.
I want to say, like, when you guys finish the new album, I almost want to do like a photo shoot where Alan's like sitting on a couch and you guys are all sitting with him, like taking notes.
Here's the thing. Here's poor Jess. The whole pandemic, like, Devin, you're very nice to say that she needs to give me a safe space. She's gone above and beyond. The whole pandemic is me running around the house ranting about how awful the world is, and she just got to sit there and listen to me.
And I'm like, all like
about it.
Sunshine and rainbows. And like, Ellen, I saw a quail today on my walk and it was amazing.
And I'm like, but cops are killing black guys. We've got to stop this.
One of you is listening to some heavy punk and the other one's probably listening to some ska music is what I'm thinking.
The ska music.
It's so
and
true.
And a lot of reggae. Reggae makes me really happy.
It's very true. Well, Devin, we've kept you for too long, man. Thank you so much. We're going to have you on again. And again, once this is all done, we'll get you guys all in the studio to have a real face-to-face sit-down chat.
Yeah. We would love it. We would love it, so...
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Devin.
Well, this has been Talk Music to Me. Again, the website is talkmusictomeslc.com. We will be back.
I promise. Yes.
Now that we're back here doing this, we're gonna get some new interviews. I actually put out a request to get Alkaline Trio, and I never heard back. Just saying.
I know.
It's a little frustrating that James can get Frank Turner.
I know.
But we can't even get Alkaline Trio. Devin, I even reached out to their publicist. It's
kind of bogus. My ultimate music love is Matt Skiba, and I think I would die. I don't know what I would do. I'd be so nervous. I don't know what I would do.
But we're gonna get some more guests. I got some ideas.
I know what you'd do.
What?
You would call me and you would be like, "Hey, Devin,
I need
Matt's
to talk
coming on the show. Would you mind coming and talking with us?" And I'd be more than willing to do that. I'm a huge.
How did we
huge Alkaline Trio fan?
Oh my god! So there was when I was doing promoting. The coolest part about Warped Tour was that I got to promote at Warped Tour, and there was one time I was on stage for Hazen Street because they were one of my accounts.
Toby
and I, and I looked out into the crowd, and there was Matt Skiba standing there, and he waved at me, and I died. I died.
Devin, seriously, it was a lot of fun, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Devin.
Check out Oxford Gray everywhere. Just head over to talkmusictomeslc.com and get all the links. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. That was a cover.
This has been a Studio B production.